You're listening to a Marketplace special on the economics of disability. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We start with education and schools with my co-host for this section.
Hi, I'm Maria Town. I serve as the director of the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities in the city of Houston. I'm a wobbly person who has cerebral palsy, and one of my first experiences advocating for myself was during my IEP meeting at school. IEP stands for Individualized Education Program.
How public schools educate children with disabilities is governed under a federal law that covers 13 disabilities.
And a case about that law and what students are entitled to went all the way to the Supreme Court last year. The court's ruling changes what schools and districts are legally obligated to provide.
To find out what this means for parents and kids, I went to meet a family in South Brooklyn in the heart of the nation's largest school district.
Morning, come in. This is Aiden.
Hi, Aiden. I'm Lizzie.
Hi, Lizzie.
Hi.
In a bright orange shirt, 8-year-old Aiden's ready to show off what he's learning in third grade.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
French. His mom, Alana Philip, remembers meeting his French teacher.
I said, French? He's studying French? I figured if I'm having this much difficulty in the other English-based subjects, surely this is just another layer of complication.
Because in pre-K, Aiden was diagnosed with a subtype of autism.
One other thing that really comes out clearly is it seems as though this thing is going to take a lot of money. I don't have it.
There was the occupational therapist, so Aiden could learn to hold a pencil, the reading program at $150 a session, and
a private neuropsych eval, and that costs $4,500 out of pocket.
In New York City, within 60 days of requesting an evaluation, parents, teachers, and other school staff are supposed to hash out and implement a student's Individualized Education Program, or IEP. When that IEP is written, under federal law, it's the document that lays out exactly what services a student with disabilities gets. Philip, who's an educator herself, made sure Aiden got occupational, physical, and speech therapies at school.
Actually, what I had to really fight for was one-to-one tutoring and extra support.
As we know, not all schools have the same resources.
That's Lori Podvesker. She's an advocate at Include NYC, a nonprofit that helps students with disabilities access services. She says schools sometimes make recommendations based on what they can give, not necessarily what students need. In the past, New York students with disabilities were often taught separately in their own classes. But then in 2010,
they changed the funding formula.
Now the district gives schools more money if they keep kids with disabilities in mainstream classrooms. The idea being that if you educate students with disabilities alongside their peers, they'll do better academically and socially. But is just that enough? Again, Lori Podvesker, who's a proponent for these kinds of classrooms.
My gut reaction is no, because there's still a huge achievement gap between students with disabilities in New York City and general education students.
There's also a gap between what kids are legally obligated to get and what schools actually give them. New York City schools spent $3.7 billion on classroom instruction for special education students last year, about 30% of such spending. And they're doing better at getting students classroom services than ever before. But still, one in four kids don't get the full services they're legally entitled to. Two families recently sued the district. In a statement, the New York City Department of Education says they ensure students with disabilities have access to education in, quote, the least restrictive environment. And they say they try to resolve concerns as quickly as possible. Nationwide, a lot of families have sued, like that case we mentioned earlier that went to the Supreme Court. Jack Robinson represented the Colorado family in it.
You have this inherent tension between what the parents want and believe is necessary for their child to succeed and, you know, what the school district is willing to do, whether it's financially or just conceptually.
The Supreme Court ruled unanimously that just access to education is not enough. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote schools need to offer services so students, quote, make progress appropriate in light of the child's circumstances.
For the first time, children with disabilities are entitled to more than just the bare minimum.
The federal law, which gives students with disabilities rights to an education, also promises federal funding to cover 40% of extra special education costs. Today, only 14% of those funds have come through, leaving it up to states and districts to figure out how and what they can pay for. Since the Supreme Court ruling, the Federal Education Department released guidance to schools clarifying their increased duties under law. What we don't know yet is how that will play out for students like Aiden or anyone else with a disability.
70 divided by 10. What multiplied by 10 would give us 70? Correct. Good boy. High five.
For now, it likely still means a lot of hard work.